the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Wow. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So Ezekiel says, I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them. And flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. What a story. What a vision that Ezekiel saw. What in the world does that mean? The word of God came to this man. Let me give you a little background. This vision came to Ezekiel in some of Israel's darkest days. They were a nation that was almost cut off from history. You remember, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, God brought Israel out of Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. And God, through the plagues, broke the power of Egypt and brought Israel out of there, parted the Red Sea, brought them to Mount Sinai, where he appeared to them and gave them his law. And he said, I am entering into covenant with you, Israel. You will be my people, and I will be your God. And you will follow my laws, and I want you to build a tent because I want to live in the midst of you, God with man, as it was originally intended, that we would walk with God. And you will worship through sacrifices of animals. which, by the way, looked ahead to the cross where Jesus would put away our sins by His sacrifice. And so God had a people, this nation of Israel, and their job, they had one job, to shine the light of God's glory and show the rest of the nations what God is like. To be a special people that didn't live the way the other nations live, but that followed the laws of God and worshiped Him. But you know the story as you read through the whole Old Testament. Israel sinned against God. They did not follow His laws. They did not stay faithful to Him in worship. But they began to worship the idols of the nations that were around them and among them. They began to worship God and idols. And God was patient with them. He sent prophet after prophet to them, saying, repent of your sins and come back to me. I love you and you're my people. But Israel continued to turn their backs on God. They were up and down and up and down. He sent prophet Elijah, Elisha, Amos, Malachi. He sent the prophets and Israel would not repent. And so God raised up the nation of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar. And God punished His people just as He had warned them He would do. Babylon came into the land of Israel in 597 B.C., 600 years before Jesus was born. And they captured the city of Jerusalem. They tore down the temple of God. And they set fire to the city. And they took captives from the Israelites in chains and led them back to Babylon in exile. And there they would be, out of their homeland, no temple where God would be worshipped, to grow up in a strange place where people spoke a different language and worshipped other gods. And they would stay there for 70 years in exile, because of their faithlessness against God for the centuries where they had sinned against Him. A lot of times nations would disappear from the earth when this happened. They would just be assimilated into the nation who took them in. And so Israel, they're in these dark days. Can you imagine if you were alive in those times when the troops come into town and kill a lot of the people, destroy the army, tear down the buildings in your city and set fire to them, and then the beloved temple of God that Solomon had built, one of the ancient wonders of the world, crushed. And then you see your friends and loved ones chained up and taken from you, if you're one of the ones who stayed in the broken land. Or maybe you're one of the ones who were taken away into exile. They took a lot of the young people so that they could add them to their society. They took the smart ones, those in physical good condition. You remember Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These guys were taken into captivity. Ezekiel was one of the young men. He was about 25 years old. He was taken to Babylon. And there in Babylon, God began to speak visions and words of prophecy to Ezekiel. Imagine him, a young man in Israel. Scholars believe that Ezekiel most likely lived his whole life in Babylon and died there. Never got to go back home and see Jerusalem. But God gave him a word to preach to the Israelites while they were in exile to encourage them to continue to hope in God. This passage about the dry bones coming to life, this is one of Ezekiel's visions that God gave him. And God explains it for us so we don't have to wonder what it means. This message is about the resurrection of Israel. The resurrection of a nation. It's a metaphor. It's a picture that Israel as a nation was all but dead. If God didn't do something, they would disappear from the history books forever. They were decimated. They were brought into a strange land. If God doesn't choose to act on their behalf, they're goners. And so God gives this vision of the dry bones. You remember he said, Ezekiel, Israel says that their hope is lost and their bones are dry. In other words, Israel was complaining in the land. We're done for. They were confused. What about the promises of God? God promised that Abraham's people would be blessed. And here we are in a strange land. God promised King David that one of his sons would sit on the throne forever. Where are the promises of God? Have you ever felt like that? When hope seemed to be lost, have you ever been on the verge of giving up? This was where Israel was as a nation. And God spoke a word to Ezekiel. He gave him first this vision of life. A graphic vision. Imagine God takes Ezekiel in the spirit to this valley and he sees these bones, just bones laying everywhere. Lots of bones. And he led Ezekiel around to look at these bones and he said, Ezekiel, can these bones live again? And he knows God can do anything, but he doesn't presume to know the secret plans of God. And so Ezekiel humbles himself and says, oh, sovereign Lord, you know. You know, that's a lot of times the place we need to be in. When you get to that place of hopelessness, but you still have faith in God. When you just get on your face and say, oh, Lord God, you know. I don't know what you're going to do in this situation. I don't know what you're going to do in my life. But I trust you. You know your plans, oh God. And I hope in you. And so God gave Ezekiel this vision of these bones. You know, if God didn't move, those bones were not going to come to life. You know what I mean? They're not going to do that on their own. Chances are you've never seen bones come back together and rise up to life. There's a reason for that. It doesn't happen. God was showing him a completely hopeless situation because God wanted to do something that only he can do so that he would get the glory for it. You remember he said, and you will know that I am the Lord when these bones. In other words, I'm going to do something in your life that only I can do so that you'll fall on your face and say, I know you are the Lord. God is going to glorify himself in this miracle. And so, yes, Israel is hopeless. They're utterly helpless. But God does something he can do. And he tells Ezekiel to preach to these bones. Now, I've preached to some pretty dead congregations in my day. I've been a part of some pretty dead congregations in my day. But I've never been commanded by God to preach to literal dead people. You think Ezekiel hesitated before he began to speak to dead bones? Wouldn't you feel a little silly? Why, God, why do you want me to preach to bones? They can't hear me. Does it matter? You know, before we're born again, the Bible says we're dead in our sins and transgressions. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Spiritually, we're dead. Remember Jesus would teach and he said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, we don't have spiritual ears unless God grants it. So why preach? There may be some of you this morning and you're not alive to God. You're not a believer in Christ. You're dead in your sins. I don't know your heart. God sees. You don't even know your heart. God sees. We can be deceived about our condition. God sees. So why preach at all? Because through the preaching, God does a work. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And so as Ezekiel preached to these bones, which by the way, sometimes what God leads you to do looks silly, but you got to do it. Ezekiel, maybe he was quiet at first. Bones come alive. Is anybody seeing me do this? Maybe he then kind of got into it a little bit. Boom! Come on. I don't know. We don't know. However he did it, he did it. And God worked through the preaching of his word. And that's how he does it all the time. The bones began to rattle. And God raised them up, a big army. That would have been something to see. God did something only he could do, but he did it through a preacher who preached the living word of God. And God brought results. And then God even spoke. He interpreted this miracle so we don't have to wonder what it means. He said, Ezekiel, these bones are the house of Israel. And they say, my hope is cut off. As I was looking over this last night, that caught my eye. Israel felt hopeless. And you know what? God saw their hopelessness. And he spoke to Ezekiel. He spoke to the very heart of what they were feeling. In other words, listen to me. When you feel hopeless, God sees you in that moment of struggle. He's not silent because he's being cruel. He sees you hurting, and he knows his plan, and he's got a good plan. But it's encouraging to us that God sees his people when we struggle. He said, Ezekiel, I've been hearing what they're saying. They say my hope is cut off, but look at what I'm going to do. God sees you in your struggle. And he gave them a metaphor. You know, this is not about God literally taking bones out of the ground. He said, this is about a nation being restored. This is about a nation that seems like it's all lost. I'm going to bring them back to the land of Israel. Now, God, with not only this vision for Ezekiel, he also spoke a word to Ezekiel in the previous chapter. And we won't read all of it, but I want to show you a couple verses. In Ezekiel 36, God not only gave that vision of life through the bones, but he spoke a promise of hope of what he was going to do in the hearts of these Israelites. And he says this in Ezekiel 36 and 22. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it's not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. In other words, the nations think I'm not powerful to keep you in the land. Your sin has put my name and drug it through the mud, and so I'm going to act for the glory of my name. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I'm the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. Now look at this, verse 24. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you. Wow. And you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. God is going to wash his people. It's a prophecy. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone, your unresponsive heart to God. I'll take it out. I will put a soft heart of flesh, a moldable heart that will listen to God, right? And I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. So not only is God going to raise the nation to life, he's going to do a spiritual work in their hearts so that they would be the people of God who are obeying God. He said he would do a spiritual raising of the dead by giving them new hearts. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to know that if you finish the Old Testament, God did just what he said he was going to do. If you read in the books of Nehemiah and Ezra, God did bring Israel out of captivity. He brought them back to the promised land. They rebuilt the temple. And here they are ready for the Messiah to be born. Then God stopped speaking to them. And as the Old Testament closes, there was 400 years of silence. So God raised the bones. He raised Israel and brought them back into the land. I want us to flash forward now to the time when Jesus was born. After 400 years of silence from God, no more prophets, One day a prophet stepped into town, John the Baptist. He was a funny-looking guy. He had a leather belt. He was eating locusts and wild honey. And he came into town and he said, "Thus says the Lord, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In other words, it's been silent for 400 years, but God is about to act. It's happening. It's here. And then he said, "I'm going to show you the one who's coming after me. I'm not worthy to even untie his shoes." And then Jesus walks up to the river and John said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So Jesus comes on the scene and we see Jesus speaking about something greater than Israel being restored as a nation. As great as the resurrection of Israel was, God sent Jesus to tell us that he's up to something even bigger than a nation coming back to life. And Jesus began to teach us some things. We see the resurrection that Christ brings. First, Christ spoke of a spiritual resurrection he would do in our hearts. Do you remember what we just read in Ezekiel 36 where God said, "I will sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean, and then I'll do what? I'll put my spirit within you." Jesus alluded to those words in John chapter 3 when he's talking to Nicodemus. He refers to what Ezekiel said in John 3 and 5. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again." So Jesus, he said that he was going to bring a spiritual resurrection. In other words, Jesus is going to do what Ezekiel said. "I'll sprinkle water on you and I'll put my spirit in you. I'll cleanse you and I'll fill you with new life." That is just what Jesus said he's going to do. He said, "You can't even enter the kingdom of God. You can't unless this miracle takes place within you that Ezekiel spoke about." And so Jesus said, "I'm going to give you a spiritual resurrection." But as Jesus continued to teach, people's eyes probably got wide, because Jesus not only spoke of a spiritual resurrection of our hearts. In other words, Jesus is going to give us new life, awaken us to God. But then Jesus also began to speak of a physical resurrection. Listen to me. Jesus began to teach that those who believe on him and are given these new hearts, at the last day, Jesus said, "I will raise you from the grave." In other words, what God did metaphorically for Israel, they were as good as dead and God restored that nation, he's going to do for all who believe in him in a literal way. He will give us new hearts to believe his gospel. And he will give us hope beyond the grave. Let's look at what Jesus said in John chapter 5, beginning in verse 24. Look at this. This is a message of hope for you this morning. John 5 and 24. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed." He has crossed over from one realm of death into another realm of life. He's talking here about that spiritual resurrection, salvation. "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." That's talking about the spiritual resurrection, that when we are born again, when we hear the message of Jesus dying for our sins, and we believe, we come alive. Just like the dry bones in Ezekiel's vision, that happens in your heart when you hear the gospel and you're cut to your heart and you realize you're a sinner against a holy God, but that Christ died for your sins and rose again. When you believe that, you have a new heart. You come alive. You have a relationship with God. You have purpose and hope. So Jesus is talking about that. But then he says this, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he's given him authority to execute judgment because he's the Son of Man. Do not marvel," don't be surprised at this, "for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out." Jesus will give you new life spiritually, and then when you die, He will raise His people from their graves to live forever with God. What a hope that we have. So Jesus is teaching a spiritual resurrection of our hearts and a physical resurrection from the grave. He says this also in John 6, verse 38. He says, "For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He's given me." That's the people. I won't lose anybody that God gave me. "But raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son," that's Jesus, "and believes in Him should have eternal life. And I'll do what? I will raise him up on the last day." Here's what God wants to do in our lives through Jesus Christ in this message of hope. He wants to raise your heart from being a sinful heart of stone. He wants to replace that with a responsive heart that loves God and loves neighbor. He wants to put His Spirit within you and make you born again. And then on the last day, He wants to raise you and give you a new body, kind of body that can be equipped to withstand the presence of God in heaven forever. Wow. This is hope. This is life. A physical resurrection. And then Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead just to prove that He could do it. How is God going to accomplish this? How will He give us new life in our hearts and ultimately, at the last day, give us new bodies? He will do it through Jesus Christ. As Jesus continues to teach in His ministry, He began to predict some things that would happen to Him. In other words, He didn't just talk about what He's going to do for us. He began to speak about what would happen to Him. That Christ would die on a cross for sinners. He said, the Son of Man, He didn't come to be served by man, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Jesus began to predict that He would be mocked and beaten and killed and crucified and buried, but that He would rise from the dead 3 days later. Jesus made that prediction over and over again. You could just read about it in the book of Matthew even. Matthew 12, verse 40, 16, verse 21, Matthew 17, 9, Matthew 20, verse 17 to 19. Jesus predicted, "I'm going to die, I'm going to suffer for sins and be buried and rise again." Just as He promised, Jesus died for sinners on the cross. His disciples felt about as hopeless as Israel did in the exile. But on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to His disciples in a new glorified body. It was still a body because He ate food with them. It wasn't a ghost. It wasn't a vision or an appearance of light. He had a body that could eat, and yet it was a new kind of body, a glorified body. And He appeared and stayed with them for 40 days and taught them. And then He rose to heaven and poured out His Spirit on His believers. And these weak and fragile men were full of the Spirit and boldness. And they gave their lives going all over the earth, proclaiming the message that Christ is risen from the dead. And forgiveness of sins is proclaimed through His name. These men were willing to be tortured and even crucified upside down, mistreated. And they never said, "Well, it was just a joke." They were willing to go to their painful deaths saying, "I saw Him." One passage of Scripture says that Jesus appeared to over 500 believers at one time in one place. Jesus is alive. He did what He said He would do. So how does this apply to us? We get to the final one. We've seen the resurrection of a nation, Israel, a metaphor. We've seen Jesus speak of, "I'll give you life in your heart and I'll raise your body from the dead." And then he died on the cross and rose again to make it possible. So today we close this out. We apply this by looking at the resurrection of believers. That is the church. If you hear this message about Christ and God awakens your heart to believe, then you are part of his people, the church. And what did Jesus say he would do for his people on the last day? I will raise them up. Wow. So what we saw pictured with Israel in the dry bones, Jesus promised to do for us at the last day. Jesus was the first man to rise from the dead in a glorified body that lives forever. He did that as the pattern of the kind of body that you and I are going to get on the last day. In other words, Jesus was resurrected with a glorified body. And the Bible says that that body is the first fruits. First fruits means it's the first batch of the crops. And it's going to show you what all the other crops are going to look like. Jesus is the first one in a glorified body to show us what the rest of the crop, what kind of body we're going to have. Can I show you just a few scriptures as we close out this morning about the kind of bodies we're going to get at the last day? 1 Corinthians 15:20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Verse 49, just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, that is Adam, just as we've put on this sinful, weak body like Adam, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. We will get a body like Christ's. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We won't all die. When Jesus comes again, some of us will still be alive. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Fast, fast. At the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we shall all be changed, glorified in a moment, guys. Not only will Christ give you a new heart when you believe, but as a believer on the last day when he comes, the graves will bust open and those who have died in Christ will be raised imperishable. That means with a body that won't perish, a body that won't get sick and tired and groan with aches and pains, a body that no longer has a sin nature in it. Hey, no more battle with lust and greed and impatience and hatred. Free from sin forever. How's that sound, brothers and sisters? This is hope. The Bible speaks about these new bodies in other places. Look at this, Philippians 3:20. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. Do you have that hope? Do you believe? Are you clinging to this promise? What will happen to you after you die? You can trust the Lord Jesus. He died and came back. And this is what He has proclaimed for us. 1 John 3:2, beloved, we're God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. There's some mystery. We don't know how it's all going to work out. But here's what we do know. When He appears, when Jesus comes, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. That day is coming, brothers and sisters. Do you have hope? Have you experienced the spiritual resurrection? Has Christ sprinkled your heart with clean water and put His Spirit within you? Are you born again? Has there been a change in your life? Have you seen that you're a sinner before a holy God and that you need rescue? You need cleansing? Have you confessed your sin to God and believed on Jesus Christ and what He did for you at the cross? How that He bore your condemnation and your judgment and the wrath of a holy God? It fell on Christ on the cross so that it does not ever have to fall on you. Have you seen that gospel truth? Then you can hope You can make these verses, this promise about a new body, you can make it yours. Your expectation that your body will be raised and changed with a kind of body that can stand in the presence and the glory of God without melting like candle wax. You'll be able to stand in the presence of God and love Him and know Him and serve Him, whatever adventures He has for us in eternity. Praise God. He's not just going to give us new bodies, but a new land. A new land. Remember, He resurrected Israel and brought them back to the land. What land are we going to have? Where are we going to enjoy God in these new bodies? And the Bible says that, you know, God's people started out in the Garden of Eden. And then when He called the nation of Israel, it was a land in the Middle East. But you know what? God has a place for the church, which is made up of Jews and Gentiles, believers from every nation. And God is going to bring a new heavens and a new earth. God is going to refresh this earth and take the curse off of it. Weeds are no longer going to grow in your garden. Amen? No more death. Hurricanes and earthquakes and these things. The curse is going to be gone. A new heavens and a new earth. And we see in the promise of Scripture, Habakkuk 2:14, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The whole earth will be the land where we with new bodies will be in the presence of God forever. So he pictured this in the valley of the dry bones, this metaphor for a nation raised from their graves. But then Christ came. And he taught that he will give us a resurrection in our hearts. He will give us new life. And on the last day, raise us up. Christ died and rose as the first fruits. He accomplished our salvation on the cross and rose again. And now the church proclaims the hope that we have. We're here this morning to celebrate this great hope that we have in Christ. This is the hope that we have, you and I. As believers in the Lord Jesus, that the pains of this world are not forever. Amen. The hopelessness that we feel sometimes is not forever. There is something greater to put down your anchor in and to stand through the difficulties of this life. God is not the genie in the bottle, and He's not promised to grant your every heart fleshly desire. Jesus said that there would be persecution. He doesn't rescue people, even His people in the church. He doesn't rescue us from sickness. Sometimes we have to go through very hard things, even to lay down our lives if He wills. But what He has promised us is a washed heart that can enjoy God now, in part, and fully forever. In glory. And He's promised to raise us from the dead and fit us with new bodies that can enjoy God forever. That is a hope for you to cling to this morning. Do you believe? Do you believe the Word of God? Can you turn to Him? Let's bow before God. Let's just spend a few moments in His presence. Are you a bunch of dry bones this morning? Hear the word of the Lord, dry bones, and come alive. The word of God calls us to live. Lord, we ask you to move in this place. We ask you to let dry bones come alive. We ask you, God, to grant sinners to recognize their need and their condition before you, O God. To humble themselves before a mighty God and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I've not lived for your glory. But you have loved me and you've given your Son. And He has taken my guilt and my condemnation. Wash me, Lord. with that sprinkling of clean water on my heart. Take out this heart of stone and give me a responsive heart to you. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Look to Him right now. You can never earn it. You can never do enough good. You must be born again. Look to Christ. And know that on that last day, He will raise us up. Father, would You move? Would You save? Would You speak to every situation of hopelessness? And give an eternal hope in Christ. Send Your Spirit, O God, and let faith rise up in our hearts. Let the rattling sound come as You are connecting bones and bringing people to life. And hope is filling our hearts and our minds. Father, we love You. We thank You that You have loved us in our hopelessness and in our sin. You did something. You stepped into it with Christ. Jesus, You died in our place. And You conquered the grave for us. We look to You, Jesus. Speak to our hearts. Fill us with Your Spirit and restore hope that overcomes all, even the grave.